Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 225 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey everyone.
We are back, Ben, for yet another week. We've done a pretty good job this year, actually, recording each and every week, even though we've moved it to Sunday nights now.
Yeah. A little change in schedules, you know, makes things a little bit refreshing, and I guess in a lot of cases, we make sure that we get all the news instead of the news that comes out half an hour after we finish recording, so...
Yeah, we thought we'd be safe with Friday nights, but then I suppose Friday nights still leaves Friday open US time, so we were still missing some things on the Friday night, but I guess we're past the preview season now, so most of the news is really breaking earlier in the week, if anything, but... Obviously, the season of basketball gaming is well underway now. The games have been out almost a month now. As of about a week after next week, it will be a month. That's that once again is really flown very quickly.
Yeah, it has. Can't believe it. Like, even with all the grinding and the games, it's gone by pretty quick.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, we're measuring it by the grinding rather than the weeks now. With the gaming, but yes, we are still playing the games. Of course, we want to keep creating content for them all season long until the next preview season starts next year. Then it's all over again, and the way of course the time flies by these days, that'll be here before we know it. But in the meantime, hopefully, we can slow down a little bit so we can enjoy the games. And a little bit of news this week, Ben, on top of what we've been playing: a new patch coming out, and a couple of other interesting stories as well.
Yeah.
So let us indeed tip off with some news, and the news this week about NBA Live 18 starts out with the release of a patch. As I said, this is patch 1.04 for NBA Live 18, out now for both the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions of the game, and it's both a technical fix, addressing some crashes and other technical problems, and also a few gameplay tweaks as well. And we saw the notes when they came out, Ben, and they look pretty detailed. It's not the biggest patch we've ever seen for NBA Live, or a basketball game in general, for that matter, but it was a pretty comprehensive one for a mid-sized patch, I suppose you'd call it.
Yeah, you know, it looks like it's addressing quite a few issues in that sense. So, and yeah, hopefully better balance with things and that. Good to see that it actually had a decent patch note size and detailed description as well.
Well, yeah, that is the thing with the previous NBA Live patches. Basically, all we've had to go on is maybe a couple of notes from developers posting on Twitter or social media, elsewhere on social media, Facebook, etc. Or you look at the update history on PlayStation, and it basically just says minor bug fixes. Doesn't really tell you much at all about what's gone into it.
Yeah.
But this one does have detailed patch notes, which is something that NBA Live, EA needs to do for NBA Live with each patch. I mean, having said that, obviously 2K didn't release any notes for their first big patch, 1.03, so it was that was a problem in and of itself, but both companies need to be doing the patch notes to let us know just what's being tuned.
And hopefully more than just a three-line one that comes out like a week later as well.
Oh, that last year with 2K17, yeah, that was that was ridiculous. But, I mean, even if they're not particularly detailed, just letting us know in broad strokes what's been addressed, major issues, and game tuning, of course. Looking at the notes for patch 1.04, just going through them really quickly, addressed a crash in the Pro-Am Tour that occurred during a conversation with the Goodman League Commissioner after winning the league tournament. Obviously a big problem there if the game is crashing, so good to see them resolve that. Addressed a crash when a player would get to level 50 league hype. Addressed some player likeness issues. And, well, that's actually basically pushing through some new faces. I think it's... Who got some...
Kyrie got his beard.
Yep, Jaylen Brown, the Celtics, got his new hairstyle, I believe. So they did push through some face updates there. Just an issue in which a user could turn off auto subs and cause the CPU to stop making a substitution. That was a problem in Live 14 or 15, from memory. That... I remember that being a problem in a previous Live on this generation, that if you turn off auto subs for the user, it also turned it off for the CPU. So I'm glad that's been addressed within the first month of the game's release, basically. Definitely a frustrating issue when it was in the previous game. I want to say 14 or 15. Definitely wasn't 16, and indeed might have just been the 14 itself. Addressed some idle issues with some instance of dribbling and hands-up animations. made improvements to the look of a player's first step out of the triple threat, improved responsiveness for pull-up jumpers, improved responsiveness when catching and shooting, improved responsiveness on right-stick shot contests, updated and tuned dribble content, and improved overall online gameplay stability. So obviously you've got the technical side of things with the crashes and the online stability, but those tweaks to the gameplay definitely have addressed some of the complaints people have had with those responsiveness on the sticks. And we've said before that Live 18 is pretty responsive compared to its immediate predecessors, but there were still some issues with the responsiveness on jump shots. And I was playing the game before we started recording, and I would have to say there has been some improvement, which is not to say there isn't still room for improvement, but it does feel a bit more fluid.
Yeah, I was playing a bit yesterday, and you know, game felt really good. You know, felt a bit better than when I was playing earlier in the week, just before the patch came out from memory. So, with the patch notes there, you know, it's good to see that, you know, they're improving animation stuff in that as well, and you know, responsiveness and animations and that. So that for me bodes well in terms of long term goodwill and all that, and you know, that they're constantly improving it, which will also benefit towards Live 19 as well. So
yeah, and we've made the observation before that a lot of the animations in slow motion look quite good. It seems to be the speed they play out. So if they can make the adjustments whether patching out certain animations or patching them in or changing the speed, things like that, could really help with the feel and aesthetic of the game. So any improvement there is welcome, and it sounds like it is feasible, which back in the day, with the patches that we'd get, I mean, we remember how the NBA Live 10 patch, the second one, kind of screwed up the game. Now that we are getting more patches through, there's always that problem with the game changing throughout the year and evolving. Sometimes it doesn't work out, Live 10 being a fine example of that. But because there are multiple patches through the year, you know, it just doesn't have the one or two, and then, oh, that's it. And if it screws something up, well, it's on till next year. And of course, with Live 10, there was no next year for quite a few years there. But the potential to resolve issues fairly quickly for Live and 2K, as much as we may grumble about the amount of patches, sometimes it can definitely have its benefits to address issues reasonably quickly and way before the next game comes out. So I do like it in that respect.
Yeah, you know, and I suspect that, you know, with a couple of patches, you know, some of the, you know, things that might take a little bit longer to fine-tune and all that will probably come in later patches. So, you know, there'll be ones that will have short-term fixes, and then there's ones that they're probably working on that will have long-term fixes in that sense. So,
well, you don't want to make too many knee-jerk changes as well.
Yeah, exactly.
There'll be some gamers who still need to adjust to the game, and you don't want to change it just because they're still getting new to it, and it ends up changing it away from what it should be because you're making adjustments too prematurely. I still think they need to make adjustments to the team strategy. There are still a bit too many drives still. I played the Ultimate Team game before we started recording, as I said, and I did notice that when players were open for three, they were actually attempting it. So there were more 3-point attempts there, but still a lot of players looking to drive rather than taking even mid-range shots. I mean, the mid-range game is kind of a lost art in the NBA these days, as we know. But certainly a 3-point attempt or posting up, it seemed to be players driving from the perimeter, which we see, but a little bit too much isolation ball is still happening. And maybe, as we said before, that's a tendencies thing. So, but I would like to see that improvement once again. I guess we're going to harp on it until we see it. But that does seem to be the major gameplay issue as far as realism of the AI and strategy is concerned is the driving still.
Yeah.
But looking at these patch notes, as I said, a good mid-size patch. Great that they've addressed those technical issues. Not being able to progress past a certain point because of crashes and everything is obviously, to state the obvious, not good. So the fact that they've been able to address that fairly quickly within a month is definitely promising. Also made a few changes to Live Ultimate Team, or LUT, basically updating player ratings on items to better reflect important attributes. They've taken passing off the cards. Players obviously still have passing attributes, but it's not really the important attribute to show. Added the post offense, represented as post, capital POST, to show how good a player is at getting to the basket. Changed shooting to mid-range shooting to better reflect the player's ability to score off mid-range jumpers. That's from SHT to MID. and also change dunking, DNK, to finishing, FIN, to better reflect how well a player can score around the basket with dunks and layups. So just kind of cosmetic updates there to Live Ultimate Team, but I guess just making more relevant information on the cards, which, yeah, that doesn't go astray either.
Yeah, I think those changes are beneficial, you know, especially like with the dunk one to finishing, you definitely get a broader idea of how affected they'll be close to the basket, and so I think that'll change a lot of people's decisions whether they use that card or buy that card, or whether they would choose to do with it. So
players who can still finish around the rim but may not be prolific dunkers, still good at finishing around the rim with layups or whatever. Finishing is better to a better way of summing that up. So those are all logical changes. Good to see. And again, the responsiveness, I think, on the jumpers, the pull-up jumpers, catch-and-shoot animations, and the shot contests and everything, just making the game feel a bit more fluid is... I mean, that has been Live's weakness since the comeback with Live 14, so anything they can continue to do to fine-tune what they're doing with the Ignite engine, you know, until such time as they can make the jump to Frostbite, as FIFA has done, it's all worth it. So and I'm quite pleased with the results. I mean, there are my... Again, the issues with the driving do bug me because I do want that authenticity on the virtual hardwood, but the feel of the sticks is very important too, obviously. So yeah, I was quite pleased because whenever you see these patch notes, you know, you think you're either very skeptical or it doesn't live up to the hype that you get into your head, or sometimes you convince yourself that it feels better because the patch notes say it's better, so there's definitely improvement. But yeah. I do think there is improvement here. I do think that those patch notes are quite accurate. There has been some improvement in those areas. Again, not to say that there isn't still room for improvement, but the improvement has taken place.
Yeah, the improvements are noticeable. Yeah, I agree with that statement. With the game starting to feel smoother again and in terms of things in such an early phase too, like since it's just come out 3 weeks ago. So yeah, I think those improvements that they've made are bode well, again, you know, short-term, long-term for it, for the game and that. And, yeah, wanting to see, you know, what other kind of improvements they make in terms of those sort of animation qualities and stuff like that throughout the year, or even within the next, like, couple of patches, you know, if they're going to do 2 or 4 more patches or something like that. So, you know, if they do that kind of stuff, and we get to see a lot of improvement in that. Yeah, I'll be satisfied with the work that they've done post release and that.
And it will, as you said, it will bode well for NBA Live 19. Next year because of what they've worked on already. I don't know how many more patches they'll do. I guess however many is necessary, much like 2K in that regard. I hope they don't try to fix what isn't broken, basically. You know, that, again, you don't want a Live 10 situation, or what we saw some with last year with 2K17. You don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, 13 patches is too much. I think realistically, you probably want to try and keep it to a maximum of 8, and depending on the type of the quality and the quantity in the patch, you know, if they say they go past 8, say they release like a 9th or 10th, you know, if they're just things like, again, refining and improving animation stuff, adding new animations, things like that, new content, you know, that would go bode well, as opposed to, you know, still fixing constant crash issue kind of stuff too. So I think the type of content that go and the improvements that they put in these patches post a certain amount, you know, feels better as opposed to like knee-jerk sort of or constant fixing kind of stuff to try and balance and tune constantly, then it not works, so they try and rebalance it again kind of stuff. Sort of simple, yeah, again, what sort of happened last year with 2K17. If it gets to that point, then both games will sort of suffer a bit, especially if the patches get to the sizes that they did in 2K17, that'll be like constantly frustrating having to download 7, 7.5, even 8 gig patches.
Oh, for sure. And you do want some consistency with the gameplay. You want to see it evolve positively, but you don't want to see that the situation where you feel like, oh, this game felt great in the first couple of months, and by the end of its run, by the end of its life cycle, it was unplayable because they'd made too many changes. I hope they do address the issues with the driving. Harping on it again, I know. Speaking of content, rosters are the big thing they need to do. They need to be pushing those through fairly regularly, as we said in last week's show. But speaking of rosters, I'm not sure if you saw the Live King. Shout out to the Live King, Stephen. His post in the forum. He's posted a video on his YouTube channel and shared it in the forum. Had some really great ideas for how they could implement roster editing this year through a patch, and like suggesting technical ways they could do it. There were very solid suggestions of draw us out on the outside looking in. Obviously, we're not looking at the code behind the scenes and everything, but they that kind of feedback I love to see. That kind of creativity and that. That forward thinking and suggesting, okay, this is how it could be done, and presenting that to EA or 2K for that matter. I'd love to see them patch it in. As we said before, I don't think it's going to happen. But looking at the way the Live King presented it, you know, it may be feasible, it may be possible. And if it is, it's certainly something they should think about. You know, if you can push through extra features, extra modes of play, maybe for live pro-am and things like that. If they can add that content on top of everything else they're doing, the game could really become much more fully featured by the end and again, be in great shape heading towards Live 19.
Yeah, I mean, well, anything that would help in terms of the long run if they're, you know, building towards the future and stuff like that. So it's something I hadn't checked out, so I'll check out that video and stuff afterwards, after we finish recording, and that sort of see what he suggests. And that, but yeah, you know, given that Live has shown that they can add stuff in post-release, like they did with the practice stuff that they did, was it for Live 14?
14, yeah.
Yeah, yep. You know, it bodes well that, again, it bodes well that they could potentially do that kind of stuff. But, I mean, yeah, for me, I'd like to see that roster editing stuff come in. But I still suspect it'll happen next year.
I agree. Yeah. I guess, again, it's one of those things it never hurts to suggest, especially if we can suggest a way it could possibly be done. Even as a makeshift way in the short term. Obviously, the really deep stuff like they've got in 2K is going to have to wait. But if they could just do something makeshift... that would be really cool. So yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt to throw the suggestions out there. But you know, people have been enjoying NBA Live 18, and looking at the next topic here on our list tonight, brought to you, actually found this. I think this news about the top downloads for September.
Well, actually, no, it was ZZ. He posted it in our Prime session.
That's right. It was ZZ. Shared this with us, our 2K Pro-Am teammate and forum member. Of course, it's hard to get everyone in on Pro-Am these days, but we'll get to that later on in the show. But as far as Live 18 is concerned, some good news. It's actually made the top 20 downloads for PlayStation Network in September. And this is indeed the One Edition, which is the special pre-order edition, or the Digital Deluxe Edition, I suppose. So that doesn't include the demo. It did come in at 16, so it's in the lower part of the top 20, behind 2K18, of course, is 2, you know, the second place. That's no surprise there. Destiny 2, it was the top. FIFA, the third. Madden, fourth. Final Fantasy 9 is fifth. NHL 6, NHL 18, of course. GTA 5, of course, still people getting into that, is seventh. Rocket League, huge, 8. Ninth is Bloodborne, and 10th is Star Wars Battlefront Ultimate Edition. And then you've got games like Last of Us Remastered, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, Minecraft, etc., all the way down to Live. But it's still great to see it actually crack the top 20, because the number of games sold, the number of copies sold, I should say, for Live in the past few years has been, well, a long time ago it would have been an okay number, but considering what 2K's numbers have been in recent years, it's certainly... such a small amount, and once again 2K is out in front, but that interest in Live is there. You know, there are actually people picking it up, so hopefully it will continue, but it is a positive sign that people did actually get into the game at launch.
Yeah, you know, given what were, you know, the rumored numbers from Live 16 and that, the sales numbers and that, which weren't again, if true, and that weren't great at all. So for them to
8,000 the first week or something.
Oh yeah, it was something pretty terrible. So you know, for him to do this strongly and, you know, against some big name titles as well, is doing really well. So I'm hoping that given, I'm trying to think how I'm going to word this carefully. Like, okay, 2K has had potentially a bit of a rough start with the thing and didn't bode well with a lot of people with it. So I'm hoping maybe that could help Live this year in terms of things. It's like, okay, well, this game's a little bit rough in these certain areas and that, and it's not playing well in these certain points. So I might give this, and, you know, the fact that, yeah, the low price point that it had, especially for its,
like the pre-order and everything.
Pre-order, yeah. I'm hoping, you know, that people go, oh, okay, this game has got some good, you know, and word of mouth goes around and all that stuff. So
We've definitely seen that, haven't we? That people saying, yeah. I mean, there's still people bashing the game or being dissatisfied with it. And hey, there are still issues with Live, so it's certainly nothing wrong with being dissatisfied or feeling that it's not up to your personal standards yet. But obviously, people are really enjoying it. We see those comments either in the forum or on social media, and to see that people are actually picking it up after playing the demo for a month as well. You know,
yeah.
Because we did speculate about Live 16 with the Live 16 demo, whether people got a bit burned out on that and all realized, oh, well, that's all it is to it, and didn't want to continue. So people seem to have continued from the demo into the full version and actually enjoyed it. So it's I think you have to look at Live 18 as a success in many ways. I mean, again, a lot of room for improvement, a lot of things can be added as far as functionality, features, and gameplay improvement as well. But it has been a very strong comeback. It's getting some pretty respectable reviews compared to previous years. So it's
and the user reviews, like on Metacritic, are actually really good as well. Like,
they're higher than 2K. Well, the thing with 2K is 2K is really hammered on Metacritic because of the microtransactions. I think that's the main thing. I don't think people are saying that the Live is better across the board in every single way. It's or the 2K doesn't have the strong points, because it obviously does. We've discussed them before, it's just the microtransactions have really turned people off and turned them against the brand. But again, that is the advantage that Live has at the moment, or the door is opened.
What I was also going to lead into is, you know, it's the user reviews are on par or even like slightly higher than the actual gaming site reviews and that.
Yes.
So
because they usually skew a bit lower, even for 2K in the past.
Yeah. So positive in that light, and you know, the hard work that the dev team have put in over the last 2 years. Again, good to see some positive result from all that. You know, especially what would have happened after. You know, again, if those sales figures are correct regarding Live 16 and that they've come a long way.
Oh, definitely. And this is just PlayStation 4. I mean, there's a big user base on Xbox One as well. So we don't have the numbers for that at this time or listings. I guess we could look into that and see if they've got a similar list published on Microsoft side as well. But to crack the top 20 on PS4 and to have a lot of people on X1 as well, I know there was interest when we did the giveaway, and congratulations to the winners of our first giveaway. Sorry it took a while to get you your codes. I was enjoying reading all the stories and couldn't pick winners. We do have some more codes coming next week. So, I've already got them. We have a new giveaway coming next week, so we can get more people into the game. And, yeah, definitely that interest is there. So, it's been great to see. The brand is not dead. That there is still room for improvement, but it has made those leaps. And you remember how people were saying when Live 17 or the Drive to NBA Live or whatever was cancelled, or ultimately skip, people said, oh, well, this is just another blow to the series. I think it was actually probably the right call, because they took it and kept polishing it and developed what is obviously the one, and it came out so much better for it.
Yeah, I think, you know, from what we knew it was going to... Well, what we knew at the time was it was going to come out quarter one, so somewhere between January and March, and it's come out September, so about 6 months later, worth more of work, looks like it's paid off in that sense. So I think it was worth that gamble in that case. And the fact that they put a demo out a month early you know, again, one thing I would stress was, is this going to have a positive or a negative effect? You know, if the demo is out for, you know, potentially too long, will people sort of feel like, I've had enough sort of thing?
This is what the gameplay is going to be like. But then they patched the demo. And then then we saw the demo evolve. I think the demo got a patch the other day as well.
1.08 from memory. And I think that was just before we recorded last week, or it came out just a few days after we recorded. I can't remember now. But yeah, the fact that the demo is being updated as well, again, for those who were still uncertain you know, you can still play the demo and give it a go, and it'll have, you know, it'll have up to date patches to it, so it'll feel different from, you know,
from August, from when basically first,
so, you know, it'll feel probably a little bit more closer to what the full game is playing like now. So
EA has taken a really smart approach this year, and as you said, the work has paid off. And hopefully the game does continue to improve throughout its life cycle and to go really strong into Live 19 next year. But yeah, they've built a pretty strong foundation with what they've done. And you know, we can go into another time the stuff we'd like to see. I'm sure we'll talk about that many more times on the podcast to come. But it is great to see it have some success and to crack the top 20 on PlayStation there after, what, the 8,000 or whatever it was, copies in the first week last year for it to be... one of the most popular games. You know, I mean, that doesn't account. That just says that people have bought it. Obviously, it doesn't say that necessarily people are giving it.
And again, are just digital sales, not physical sales either. So.
Oh yeah. So when it comes down to it, it seems to be selling a lot better. It's not going to be probably a huge moneymaker compared to like a FIFA or Madden in the top five, the two in there, and of course 2K itself in the second place. But that moving the needle, and that's been the big thing for Live. So no, I'm happy to see it. Obviously. I do want to see those two strong games on the market, and although I have my quibbles with 2K18 and Live 18 for that matter, it does feel like a good year of basketball is ahead of us. It feels like both games can offer something that we can enjoy, to some extent at least. There's a lot of people that just seem to be having fun with one or the other in one of the modes that it offers. So it's good. You know, I've seen people call this a very weak year for basketball games, but I don't know. We've had Playgrounds, which has its own issues, and we'll be talking about Playgrounds a bit later on in the show, but we've had Playgrounds, Live 18 is an improvement, 2K18 has some good things despite its problems, so yeah, I feel personally that I've been able to get quite a lot of and I've been able to get some good experiences so far out of the games that have come out this year, and expect to have more moving forward.
Yeah, the same, you know, and again, you know, both games or three games offer, you know, elements to or something different from each other, so you know, if you're up for something a little different, you know, you can jump on any one of those three games. And so in the end, you know, we're strong for choice in that certain way, you know, so or sport for choice maybe is probably the better term.
Absolutely. So it's good news in that respect, and congratulations to EA for doing that, and the development team of course been working hard on that to bring the series back to where it needs to be, and hopefully it will continue, and I guess we'll continue to cover it, of course, because it is what we do here at the NLSC.
Yeah.
Moving on to NBA 2K18 now. Not a lot of news this week. There was a hotfix, it seems, for the Xbox One version, which I think is fixing up, or you pointed out what it might be, is that it's fixing the My Career issues, the lost My Players, possibly, because Xbox One seemed to have the bigger problems with that
than PS4. That seemed to be... so I'm hoping that's from what I read right and what looked to be the message in the patch note or the tweet, I think it was, that I saw it on, was in relation to that. Hopefully that does resolve, you know, a lot of issues in terms of, obviously it probably wouldn't help those already who have gone through the problem, but, you know, it potentially helps those who are at risk of it happening to them and that sort of thing, so...
people aren't having
prevents
much...
it further down the prevents it further down the track is probably
definitely, but as you say, unfortunately, the people who have the problems doesn't seem like a lot of them are having luck getting the players back. Sometimes they're getting reimbursed VC, which is I guess at the very least that 2K can do, but then you lose the grinding on the badges and everything, so that's a shame. But As you say, as long as they're doing something preventative from here on out, if they can do anything for the users, so much the better. That did seem to be just a hot fix for the Xbox One version, though. There's no new big patch notes or anything. There's nothing cross-platform, multi-platform, I suppose. Yeah, I guess we didn't mention. I think I might have retweeted it on the on our Twitter just to let everybody know. But we do have another Xbox One topic, which is a bit kind of hard for us to cover Xbox One since neither of us have one, so it's we can't really give hands-on impressions. But we did hear through the grapevine, I believe it was posted over at Operation Sports, that the media upload has been disabled on Xbox Live for NBA 2K18. So you can go through the Microsoft's OneDrive, I believe, and maybe... Does Xbox One have the USB copying facilities like PS4 added, where you can copy media from the captures via a USB thumb drive?
I think so. Don't quote me. Again, not being an Xbox user.
I can't remember if they do, but the main problem is that you can upload to the OneDrive, apparently, but it's been disabled for just uploading through Xbox Live. Which is, I guess, inconvenient for a lot of people. You know, the same way it would be.
Is that the Mixer server that that's talking about in regards to? Because I know Microsoft invested this whole thing in Mixer, and they're really trying to push that. But
not sure. I just know that people are having problems, or is the functionality is really cut down for uploading. And the other thing with 2K18 Media, of course, is that both PS4 and Xbox One, you can't. Can't record sound except for the whistles. You get the whistles and the buzzers.
Is it the screeches from the shoes or anything? Or am I just imagining
that? I think, from my captures that I've got from PS4, it's just the buzzer and the referee's whistle.
Okay, I must be thinking like when going through an instant replay and you're playing it in slow-mo, you sort of hear the screeching.
Oh, you do hear the squeaks when you go through.
Yeah.
So when you should record it. Now, of course, you can... use a capture card if you've got one like an Elgato, which I have and certainly highly recommend. And there's benefits to that, of course. It can record in 1080p, which the PS4, for example, doesn't. It does 720. Still looks pretty good when you upload it to YouTube, obviously, and you can upscale it. But you can actually capture if you've got the. I don't have the one that does 60 frames per second, but you can also get the ones that do. So obviously, if you're doing video content and really making a big go of it on YouTube, you'd probably have a capture card anyway because you'd want the sound. But we were disappointed to find that out, that once again this year that the sound, except for, again, oddly enough, the whistles and the final buzzer and a quarter buzzer is disabled. And it's just an annoyance, really, to when you're capturing media, because sure, I've got my capture card, but it's just convenient to be able to do it with the inbuilt functionality on the console. It's a hassle in some respects, because I don't always have my capture card hooked up, especially when I'm just playing with you guys. Unless I actually want to sit down and use the capture card for a reason, I certainly usually just want to use the inbuilt functionality. It's kind of a hassle there.
Yeah, and you know, given that the PlayStation records like up to 60 minutes now, when it first came out, it was only 15 minutes, but yeah, the fact that it's just now recording an hour, it does sort of eliminate, in most cases for most games, the need to buy a separate capture card, given that it can record such a long period of time now.
You've got the functionality there if you want it, basically.
I can understand still with Xbox, from what I remember with Xbox One, is it only does 5, maybe 7 minutes, as opposed to even when the PlayStation 4 came out, 15 minutes, like I mentioned. So, and now it does an hour. So I don't know if there's been any changes to their recording time, like whether they've been able to increase it with like firmware updates. So I do apologize if that information is out of date.
Yeah, let us know in the comments. I guess we'll look it up after we finish recording, but we can do that as well. But yeah, for sure, Xbox One users, let us know in the comments the current situation with that. But yeah, I do think that especially when you see that 2K has brought in all the YouTubers and everything to help promote the game, that make it a bit easier for people to capture that video and distribute it. I mean, whether it is a Microsoft issue, as you say, or whether it's certainly disabling the sound, and that's a game specific issue, because it also happens on the PS4. We've speculated on that before, that maybe it's to do with the soundtrack, possibly. But either way, you would think that they could mute the soundtrack in the recording and just have the sound effects of the game.
Yeah, well, given that, yeah, we can get the whistles and stuff and buzzer sounds, it's like, so it would have its own separate audio layer for the music in its own sense, so there should technically be a way of doing it. Even when going through the instant replay, you're not hearing the music playing in the background in that sense, you're just getting a sound effect, so there should be a way, like, to do it for, like, particularly, like, the cutscenes and stuff. Because it's kind of awkward when you do capture it. Or even, like, with the JBL studio thing that they got in it, you know, was trying to play around with the...
yeah.
You know, sort of see what you could do with it kind of stuff. And I recorded, like, a few video clips, and like, or recorded a few video moments of it, trying to, you know, get a bit of sound going. And I realized the next day, I was like, oh, crap.
No point, they have worked?
Yeah. I was like, so I probably got a waste of like 20, 30 minutes of video that I can just probably remove from the hard drive in that sense. Like, so yeah, it's a bit concerning in that sense. I'm hoping it's something that they can, you know, whether it's something they can
like do post-release.
Yeah. Post-release, or... they have to bring it back for next year, surely. It's random how it's been so on and off this generation in terms of, like, some years having it, some years not.
Yeah, so it's been 14, 17, and 18 that haven't had it. So we got it for 15 and 16, and
yeah.
It's not that there wasn't licensed music in 15 and 16, so if that is the issue, then that is kind of weird. But, yeah, simply for having that that convenience, I suppose, the convenience for content creators, and even just... more casual, you know, we do a bit of YouTube stuff, obviously, and content here on the NLC, naturally, but there's certainly people who are making more video content than we do. But for everyone who wants to have those cool highlights, it would be, you know, if they could just mute the music and have that work, yeah, it would just be a nice gesture if they can throw that in on top of some other fixes when they're doing their big patch, because I'm sure that the really big patch will be coming at some point for 2K18, so if they can throw that in there, yeah, so much the better. But, yeah, that is kind of a shame for Xbox One users. But hopefully they do have that USB feasibility. Because I don't upload anything via the PS4, I have to admit. I just, especially since I've got video editing software on my PC, I just copy stuff across from the USB. And it also clears up the PS4 hard drive because I don't have an external one for the PS4 at the moment. So it gets pretty full.
Yeah, I know. like I mentioned to you just before we started recording, I got, like, 44 gigs alone of 2K18 stuff, and that's not including, like, the Prelude stuff. And
yeah, well, I deleted the Prelude as well, so to make the room. So, and with WWE 2K18 coming out, gonna have to delete last year's game. So there you go. Still on NBA 2K18 for the moment. Had an interesting story posted in the forum this week from a new user. Had a rather experience that bothered them, certainly, but. It seems that NBA 2K is using face scans for AI players in 2K Pro-Am. They may be making a few changes to the face, or putting a new hairstyle or facial hair on there, removing it or adding it, as the case may be. But it seems that, like, they might be using people's face scans for AI players. So if there was ever a time for you to get your cat's face scanned, Ben, this is it, basically, so that someone gets stuck with an AI player with your cat's face. You know, this is the opportune time to get that working, I think.
I might have to give that another try now, actually. Whether it'd be easier now to get it, given it's on the phone, instead of trying to hold his face to the... I might do that.
Just to see if you can get the cat scan working.
Yeah.
And get a cat face. See, I changed up my face. And here's the thing. I mean, I think there's probably something in the privacy that says they can use the scan however you want. Maybe you can contact them and get rid of it if that's a privacy concern. For me, my face didn't really turn out to be that much like me, so I guess I don't mind that much, really. You can have my odd mixture of Alan Ruck and Adam Sandler that it turned out to be. You can have that for an AI player.
You can have my Beast Dunks face that looks swollen as hell.
That came out really well, the swollen face, the... just thinking of Smithers getting stung by all those bees, actually.
Yeah.
Of course, now my player looks a bit like Jaime Lannister from Game of Thrones, certainly the early one, because I gave him longer hair, so he looks a bit like the early seasons when he was a prisoner and he had the long hair and the gruff beard and everything. So I did that. I haven't changed the name to Jaime Lannister yet. I've still got my name in there, but I did get a get some hand tape for his fake hand, his golden hand. So I've got that. I'll need to get a yellow one for Street as well for Playground, so I can have that on his right hand for a golden hand there. That'd be pretty funny. But that was kind of a weird story. I don't think there's anything malicious to it, to be honest. It's just the way it is. But yeah, I guess I never really thought where they got the face scans. I thought they were just kind of put together through the sculpting, but it makes sense that they'd
use... like a random generator in that sense.
Yeah, like a random generator, or maybe, again, because, you know, OG and Beluga, that they show up as coaches in my career. So, again, they've obviously got a lot of people there in the studio that they could scan, so I thought maybe it's just developer faces, or again, as you said, random generation using the in-game morphing tools and creation tools. But yeah, I guess it makes sense that they'd throw people's faces in there as Easter eggs.
Yeah.
I mean, we did come across...
We came across the Leo lookalike and the Kenny one.
Yeah, we came across the Imposter Leo and Imposter Kenny, which is funny because Kenny obviously is not playing 2K18. I don't think he was able to get a face scan to work in the Prelude either, so... but yeah, it's kind of a shame that the Imposter Leo came out probably looking more like Leo than Leo was able to get his scans, so that was that's kind of unfortunate in that respect. But yeah, I guess not too much more to say about it. Kind of a weird story from this past week, but yeah, they walk into my face. It's not really my likeness at all. So maybe I should get it more like my face. I could demand some VC royalties, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that might be the way to go about it.
That's one way to
make
avoid
for the future and stuff.
One way to avoid the grind, I suppose.
Yeah. We wish to use your face. We will pay you this much VC.
We have 50 VC for every 2K Pro-Am game that people play. Well, people that play a lot of 2K Pro-Am, so it all adds up. How am I going to get all my haircuts? How am I get my Jamie Lannister haircuts from now on? It's
how am I going to afford my shoe addiction in real life and virtual life?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Got to think about these things.
Yep.
So earlier in the show, we alluded to NBA Playgrounds. NBA Playgrounds has a new patch has come through, as well as some downloadable content. The new patch, which is a patch 1.4, adds 45 new players to the game. It also adds both current and former players. The patch notes include a list, some of the key names: Danny Manning, Jalen Rose, Jamal Mashburn, Bill Cartwright, Cedric Ceballos. There's one for X there, Ceballos. And current players: Amir Johnson, Rodney Hood, Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Wesley Matthews, Cody Zeller. So again, won't read them all out now, but 45 new players to the roster. 15 new players can be played on a second team, including Weber on the Kings, Detlef Schrempf on the Supersonics, Muggsy Bogues on the Bullets, and Kemba Mutombo on the Atlanta Hawks, to name just a few. So that's good that they're still doing that. Also added voice chat support, fixed some tournament matches, giving less experience than they should. So you now if you replay the tournaments, the first time you get a lot more experience, but when you replay them again, you get more, which is great for if you're grinding for if you've already played through all the tournaments, if you're trying to grind still for packs, you're not just getting the 100 XP for replaying the game, you get 300, which is very nice to winning a tournament game, playing the second game. Fixed various localization issues, some uniforms inconsistencies, rare cases where the user wasn't able to send the invitation via invitation system, and resolved a voice chat issue as well. So again, that's another big patch that they sent through, adding a lot of players and adding them to second teams. Of course, you have to collect those cards separately for the second teams. Oh, 5 Playgrounders have also joined the Playgrounders team, including Good Game Bro. So shout out to Doug for getting in the game. Playgrounds and Live this year for Doug.
Yeah, being a big year for him as well. You know, in terms of virtually and in real life as well. So
definitely,
yeah, he's having a good
year for Doug and building that channel and everything. And we shout out to him once again, of course. But perhaps the more controversial news for NBA Playgrounds is the release of this Hot and Frosty DLC, and this includes 8 new rookies from the class of 2017: Markel Fultz, Jason Tatum, Lonzo Ball, Josh Jackson, De'Aaron Fox, Dennis Smith Jr., Jonathan Isaac, and Malik Monk. 3 new tournaments for Toronto, Miami, and Rio de Janeiro, and of course they've got their own courts, and 3 new custom basketballs. And there's a trailer that you can check out. Now, obviously this is paid content for the game, and this is adding... Previously, all new players have been added for free. There's also been the roster unlock was released a couple of months ago as well, and all the new tournaments previously have been free as well. Now, you look at the price tag of Playgrounds, it is cheaper than most AAA releases are, and being a digital-only release as well, obviously. But, yeah, I'm a little bit put off by the fact that this new content is paid DLC at a cost of $9.99, because Playgrounds it's been very light on the offline content to begin with. You know, we got a few new tournaments as I said, then they were at it for free, and that's definitely appreciated. But when you compare it to people, compare it to the original NBA Jam, which was again made from the arcade style, where it was much harder. The whole idea was to people keep putting quarters in the machine, or I suppose they ended up being dollars here in Australia back in the day. It was a bit more expensive here. So it was a different model, and even with the home version, you could play through the home version in a day. But that was, again, you're looking 20, 25 years ago. Go back to a game like NBA Jam on Fire Edition, what they did with Road Trip. You really need to have a mode that you can't finish in a day, and you can blow through all the tournaments in a day. So this brings the price up of... To get the full experience at the moment for NBA Playgrounds brings the price tag up to, what, $30, so it's probably going to be around about 40, 45 Australian, because it was a bit higher. I think it's about $29.95 Australian.
And probably the patch, that DLC will probably be about 15 Australian.
Yeah, so it'll bring it up to, I'd say, about 45 Australian. So you're looking at $30 to $45. And even so, I don't think that's quite enough. That's getting towards the cost of a full game. And I still don't think there's been quite enough content, especially when you look at what happened to On Fire Edition. And people aren't particularly happy. They weren't happy about the roster unlock, which people did also ask for. Gamers were asking for that, so Saber were in a tough position there, because they delivered what people wanted, but not everybody did. So, of course, there's going to be controversy. But, yeah, the fact that they've added all these other players for free, but these ones cost, and then all those other tournaments for free, but these ones are going to cost money as paid DLC. Yeah, I think they've kind of started to undermine their own goodwill, and as we've seen from the whole controversy with 2K, with 2K18, goodwill is very important to gamers. There's many examples in video gaming, of course, but certainly as far as our community is concerned, in basketball gaming, the goodwill can go in a snap, really.
Yeah, and again, given now that we got three games of choice, you know, people will put their money where they feel it's more consumer friendly in a lot of ways.
Definitely, definitely.
So, you know, this would be a case where voting with the wallet in that sort of sense. With that DLC, you know, I wasn't expecting to be that high for what you described to me, because I knew a little bit about the Frost. Like, I saw the trailer and stuff, but I didn't know how much content, or I didn't really know how much they priced it at. But for that price, that's more like, if they were going to do it that high, I would make that like a season pass.
I think
as a single release mini DLC, like small DLC patch and that sort of thing, then no, that's way too high. I think that if they were going to do it,
should have been $5, I think, $4.99 US, really.
Yeah, or even, you know, $5 Australian in a lot of ways. So, or $7.50 max, I reckon. But yeah, I think really that should be, I think that should be a season pass thing. Like, if they were to do, like, because it would still be technically classified as a season one for them, you know. Well, the initial release, and then sort of like, yeah, if this was maybe like regarded as like second season sort of stuff, then
sure.
Yeah, I think it's season pass pricing, and you know, could cater for another one or two similar type content sort of DLC and that sort of thing within that sort of price range. And that, you know, if they say if it was like $20 Australian, I think they could probably get away with another one or two. Like, things that they would, depending...
If they had a few player packs like this and tournaments coming, but it also stings because they did send that content. I suppose we've been spoiled in so much, we've had so much free content already, but because of the lack of tournaments, at least they've fixed the XP issue with the patch, which is free. The patch 1.4 is free. At least they've fixed the XP issue where you really had to grind, a really painful grind to actually get XP to... Once you finish all the tournaments, it was very painful. It needed more offline content from the start, and they talk about how they're going to add more tournaments throughout the year, and they've kind of gone back on the promises of not having microtransactions and paid DLC and things like that. So they really have kind of shot themselves in the foot as far as the goodwill is concerned. The Nintendo Switch version has only got one patch so far, and it's not the latest one. So, and they're still working on that, and there are issues with Nintendo, admittedly, but it's been interesting to see that people were very, in the community, were really defending the game against legitimate criticism as well in the start, but people have really kind of turned on the game in the past few months with the lack of updates, and now with the paid DLC, and Saber had promised all the people who were having issues with the Switch version that they'd get the Shaq Fu, and now Shaq Fu is up in the air, so it's, Saber were the darlings for a while there, but they're not looking very good at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, for months we were praising them for all, like, the post-release stuff that they've done, and, you know, yeah, still, you know, suggesting some more offline stuff, but yeah, this sort of definitely takes the goodwill a little bit of what they've done, and all the hard work and goodwill out. So it's disappointing, and I'm still backing that it should have been a season pass price for the amount of DLC that's in that pack.
Yeah,
it's way too high.
We've had more content for free already, so it's a bad look when you give less. If there was a bit more, as you say, or if it was a season pass, it might be different. But I still think there'd be the controversy when they, maybe they haven't recouped some of the costs of getting all the players into the game. Maybe there has been issues with that. I don't know. But considering the issues, it's got a very primitive online system, the lack of offline content and everything. I still think Playgrounds it's a pretty good game that's worth checking out, but it's definitely not on par with what we've seen with Street or Jam in the past.
Yeah, I think probably one of the best cases I can use of like post-release DLC and season pass stuff is Drive Club. You know, yes, that game had a rocky launch. You know, it got delayed a lot because of the things that they were trying to achieve with the menu system and a few other things in it as well that they were trying to do. The game came out relatively bare bones. But the season pass that they did was one of the best value things, like in terms of games, like, and the support that they had given in that. Everyone was very pleased with how that game turned out in the end. And I think a couple of sites redid their reviews and stuff for it, given the rocky start. And I think it even changed some of the way that some of the sites did reviews and that. Given what had happened post-release to, or from when it released to what happened just a few months after when they started, you know, bring out all this content and all that stuff. Like, that's a game that I want to put back on my PS4 because I ran out of hard drive space. And just seeing even now people still posting screenshots and videos of their gameplay experience playing that game and how beautiful it looks now and still after even all these years. And, yeah, so, you know, the work that they did on it was phenomenal. And I was hoping that Playgrounds was going to be in that similar type thing in you know, that, yes, okay, start out kind of light and bare bones, but even with that season pass stuff, like, I think cars were free, tracks were free, I think cars were sort of paid, but you got some cars for free kind of stuff. So they kind of rotated it around, or, you know, did some things where certain types of cars on that were free or some were paid and that sort of thing, but it wasn't high priced, and I think like even PlayStation Store did it on certain cheaper prices and stuff like on their sales, and they even added motorbikes into it, and you know that was a season pass for the motorbikes alone, or like a little separate DLC anyway.
Yeah.
But it, and then there's VR as well, so
it goes to show what you can do with post-release support and the right approach with goodwill, and it seemed Playgrounds was doing that, as you said, but this latest, again, whether it's been a situation where they've looked at the financials and realized, oh, we need to recoup some of those costs or whatever, or understandably, if they're adding new players who may not have been under the licensing agreement at the time, like these new rookies, maybe that's the case, but certainly not with the tournaments, because at the moment, it's also, if you go into the main menu, they've got the exclamation mark over tournaments to include to show there's new content there, but of course, if you don't have the DLC included, you can't clear it because the tournaments aren't there. So it's always kind of pushing you to get that and to get that extra content to actually get some more life out of the game. And people do still defend the price tag of the game itself being cheaper, and that's a fair point. But again, I come back to Unfire Edition, and yes, EA is a bigger studio, obviously, but at the end of the day, a game that came out Unfire Edition was 2011, I believe.
Yeah,
2011. When a game that came out 6 years ago really reinvented and revolutionized the whole arcade basketball game experience with Road Trip being such a deep mode and everything. I think you need to do a little bit better with Playgrounds and add something like, once you've played through all the tournaments, then you start and then it randomizes the tournaments or whatever. There's so much they could have done to have that replay value, but it's just not there. And certainly when they're adding that replay value at an extra cost, you know, is it going to add up with each DLC pack? Or they can keep charging people for new tournaments when they previously indicated that it was going to be free. And I think they're going back on their word, or seeming to go back on their word, perhaps I should say, is what seems to be rankling people the most.
Yeah, and you know, it's sad and disappointing. I can understand. Yeah, they're a small studio, but yeah, I think the season pass thing would have been a way to solve, if you know, recoup some losses. You know, like if yeah, initially it was like equivalent of $20 Australian, but they have like I said, a couple of like similar type size DLC packs in it that come out throughout the year.
Pushing through new tournaments every few weeks or every month or so, adding
two or
three tournaments every month. I mean, that's, yeah, I think that would be a better way to do it. But it is a shame after, again, as you said, we've been praising them for how they, rightfully so, for what they've been doing earlier on this year. But yeah, I think they kind of went a bit awry here, sadly.
Which is a shame.
Yeah. But I suppose it is what it is, and we will see what they do moving forward. But as far as us moving forward, we've pretty much reached the end of this week's news, so it is time to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
The alley-oop! Oh, what a play!
It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
We were crazy, Ben. We went back into 2K Pro-Am. Well, we enjoyed it, as we said, last week, so we went back to it this week. Got another win. That was nice. Mm-hmm. And the biggest problem for us at the moment is that we're getting matched up with elite teams. So the matchmaking could really stand to be a lot better in 2K Pro-Am. So players that are still grinding their way up with the badges and the overall are being... I think I might be the highest at 82 overall at the moment on our team, possibly.
Yeah, and I'm 2 attribute upgrades from hitting 80.
Yeah, and so I'm still grinding the badges. We all are, I suppose. But we're getting matched up with the players who are, they've been just grinding like crazy, and I suppose hats off to them. They're already at 90 overall and got all the badges, and they're, the matchmaking basically is not as good as last year, whereas last year, if you were amateur or pro, you would get matched up with other amateur and pro teams. Now we're getting matched up with elite teams, and it's people who are more serious, I guess, about online play, and certainly a bit more serious about grinding this year. And it's just been, it's led to it. But that being said, we actually had some competitive games against the elite teams. I thought we were going to beat that first team until they pulled away in the fourth.
Yeah, we were in it for most of that game. And then, yeah, a couple of those loose sort of play moments where we felt like we got cheated on a few in that sort of sense, or things didn't pan out, or baskets couldn't be made kind of stuff, or just passing going awry, or...
That is the thing. I mean, although there were moments of frustration, and sure, there were certainly moments of frustration, as there always is when you're feeling competitive online, but because we were in the game and we were doing things and we were able to play, basically, we were able to make some shots and make some stops and everything, the fact that we were in it till late but then pulled away, I mean, that's kind of how it is if you've got a team that's a lot better. And you look at the NBA, you might... A mediocre team might hang with an elite team for three quarters, and then in the fourth quarter, the better team turns it up and just, you know, takes over. We've seen that so many times. So as frustrating as that was, I could also appreciate that, and the fact that we had a couple of games where, yes, we got screwed, but also we made a few bad decisions down the stretch as well, and such. As frustrating as it was also a better session in some ways as well, I thought. We actually, we were competitive, despite the fact that the matchmaking was bad. But the matchmaking does need to be better. Really, I think there should be both a casual and competitive setting for 2K Pro-Am as well. And that's a Rocket League. Well, Rocket League is one game that does it. And that will be an interesting way of approaching it, that you could kind of have that more casual approach. And yes, the wins and losses count, but it's not necessarily ultra competitive ranked games kind of thing. So you can have that. So it kind of has the casual, the ranked, and then all the way up to, I guess, the casual competitive, and then esports, basically. But if nothing else, they need to improve the matchmaking so that you're matched up against similar competition until you work your way up. Because otherwise, it really turns you off the mode.
Yeah, I think I described it when we were playing as, you know, when you're trying to, you know, wade your way through it instead of getting thrown into the deep ends with sharks, you know, it does make it like an experience that you may put you off, you know, especially new to the game and you're testing out what the fuss is about. And then, yeah, you put into a team against like a elite tier 1 or elite tier 4 and you're like, oh, crap.
it doesn't make you want to grind and improve because you're like, well, I don't want to play this. If it's going to throw me in here, you know, the whole idea is to be able to improve and play the competition and level up. And as you get better, you get put against better opponents. So, yeah, that's definitely a shortcoming of the matchmaking this year. And on one hand, the matchmaking is great in that we've got matches so much quicker. Like, there was lots of problems with matchmaking last year where we didn't know whether it was searching for an opponent because it seemed to be, and it wasn't. We'd all click ready, but it wouldn't show ready, and then it would take ages to get a match. We've got matches basically almost as soon as we've all readied up.
Yeah, so within like 5 seconds, which is pretty crazy.
In that respect, it's great. But the downside is it's matching anyone with anyone at the moment, and that just to get a game. And you'd almost rather wait the 5 minutes, I think, to get a match, or certainly a couple of minutes to get a match up that's fairer than get thrown straight into a match with with someone that's so above your level that it's just not going to be a fun game. And of course, you've got to get the unlocks all the customization again this year, which is a hassle. And I'd really hope they went the other way, and they didn't. Everything's about grinding and leveling up, and I understand what they want to do, but it's just so much of it this year, as we've said before. If you're not going to make it fair in any way, VC or level caps or levels required to unlock or functionality and everything or matchmaking, yeah, it really is a turn off at every turn. So it does get frustrating.
I honestly don't see a lot of people completing their first season of Mario Kart because the amount of work that they have to do on it, and to the point where A, it's absolutely repetitive, B, you know, it takes too long, and you know, they're constantly going from one place to another to refuel, to redo this, redo that. You know, all the cutscene stuff, playing the games. There's just too much time, and I can see that people might sort of get to, you know, maybe just before the playoffs, and they go, oh, I need something, you know, need a break from it, or you know, need something different. So, I think that could be a downside in terms of that sort of thing, you know, with a lot of players in that, you know, being able to finish their first season.
And there's now that you can level up in Pro-Am and Playground, I guess there's less incentive to play My Career to some extent. If you want to just skip that entirely, you can just grind up through there. Although, I still think My Career's got the best... You tend to get the best stats and everything in My Career, so it does progress a little bit quicker. And, of course, with the... As you said, with the boost, you've got to go to the gym, so you've got to spend a little bit of time going doing that in the neighborhood as well.
Yeah, so, yeah. All that running around in between to, you know, build up attributes, build up badges, refresh energy.
Well, I mean, you look at what we did on the Friday night when there was the four of us playing. It was you, myself, X, and Valor, or Leo. And we had to stop the session halfway through and all had to go to the Gatorade gym to refuel, to get the boost back. Then we had to invite each other all in to make sure we were on the same server. And then, because if you're not, you go into your team, and if you're not on the same server, you're not there. So I don't know what the point is of having a dedicated squad anymore.
If you can't
automatically meet up there like last year, so that's not working properly. The funny thing was when I went for a run, I was just running around, you know, working on that Marathon Man badge, or Marathon Man trophy rather. It's not even an in-game badge; it's just a trophy for PlayStation trophy. And I ran all the way up the end, and it put me on a different server when I ran away from you guys. So there's all this weird stuff with the neighborhood, you know, and changing things around. Obviously, for online stability, I guess it's why they do it, but. Yeah, it's just making things so complicated that you all have to make sure that you're on the same server, go to the Prime Arena at the same time. If you exit it, because if you go to the, even if you're on the same server, once you exit the gym and start going to exit the arena and go to the gym or another thing or the barbershop or wherever, then it changes you to a different server. Everything, then you got to squad up all over again and send the invites. It's just a real hassle, you know. And you look at East not being able to play West, the East Coast and the West Coast at the moment in the US. It's
if you felt like playing Pro Am Walk On and you fell out, you get booted straight to the main menu.
Oh, and we had that team forfeit. We got the two wins. We had the one where we played to the end and we had a team forfeit, which was a shame because we were padding our stats pretty well that game. But it booted us all to the main menu on the forfeit instead of going back to the arena. So online is very clunky at the moment. I'm not getting a lot of lag online, so I'm happy with that part of it, but all the basic functionality of the neighborhood and everything is just so cumbersome. It's this really cool idea that I don't think is paying off at all, to be honest.
No. A lot of things that they need to streamline with it. Definitely remove the need to constantly go to the gym thing to restore energy is pointless. One thing, like, with doing that stuff is I'd like it to actually, you know, improve strength, improve speed, improve the reflexes and stuff like that. Yeah, okay, so it contributes to the badges slightly, the ever small amount, but...
Some of them.
Some of them. But, yeah, most of them are just there to recharge energy. Why not have them... You know, again, going towards reflexes, speed, agility, strength, and all that. Because it's wasted in that sort of thing. You know, they didn't incorporate that kind of stuff. So
it's repetitive, and a lot of people have talked about that. Agent 00 on YouTube, of course, and many people have talked about how repetitive it is. So. Yeah,
I mentioned last week that, you know, it was week two and I'm already kind of sick of it, and, you know, it doesn't make me enjoy the constant repetitive cycle of going to the gym, going to the boost, like to the juice bar, get that extra boost, like training drill, going towards the Gatorade gym.
Going back and forth between everything, yeah. It's very much of a hassle. And I've only played one My Career game in the past week. Again, I guess because it's just not been I want to get into the other modes this year, and I'm just not feeling My Career this year. Combination of the story, combination of the grind, combination of, as you said, the hassle of going back and forth between everything and running back and forth and having to go to going to your agent to collect the money. Like, wouldn't that go into a bank account? Like, the only reason to justify that is to have cutscenes and to have you run around a neighborhood. Like, that. There's no in-world... You know, you talk about realism. How many players have to go down and see their agent who lives down the street and pick up an envelope of money? Wouldn't it just go straight into their bank account? You know, that's... If we want to talk realism, you know, just saying.
Yeah, and the whole envelope thing looks shady as, like... Yeah, like a shady cop. sort of taking a bribe kind of thing. Yeah. Or a shady politician or something like that. It's just kind of...
Well, I mean, that said, you and I did actually manage to earn some VC by doing that. That's the other funny story, of course, is the Mountain Dew. I mean, there's the obnoxious cutscene, because that's part of the course in My Career these days, sadly, this year.
Yeah.
But you get the Mountain Dew sponsorship, and you've got to play half-court games, which is actually the half-court games that you played around the neighborhood, like King of the Court and the shooting games and everything, and probably the dunk game as well. We thought
the dunk game is because that was how I unlocked the fifth one.
So we thought it was the playground at first, half court playground. So we played five games of playground, and that was kind of a hassle. But you got to do it while wearing the Mountain Dew T-shirt. But you got to go to the Swags and buy the T-shirt. You would think that if you had a sponsorship deal with somebody, they would provide you with the merch to wear. So it's like, can you wear this T-shirt while you do this? But no, you got to go and pay the 249 VC for it.
And given that, you know, the shirt would actually cost Gatorade probably like 5 to 15, 20 bucks.
Yeah,
in real life. And considering I brought it up to you, it was like they must have blew all their budget when they gave you all those cartons of Gatorade. Mountain Dew. Yeah.
So it was pretty funny that you got the reward you get for it is pretty good. So you do get some good earnings for doing it. So it is worth it. But it is funny that you have to make that investment in them at first and buy the T-shirt. They didn't just get the free shirt. I mean, that's kind of...
Yeah.
Again, if you were talking about realism, they would give you a shirt to wear and say, can you wear this shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like the accessories, you know, buying the $29,000 headband or whatever from the NBA store. You'd think the team would give you free accessories. I still don't know how to get accessories in 2K Pro-Am either.
I don't think you can.
Oh, they've taken that away, have they? Oh, lovely. So,
well, it seems to be a common complaint. Like, no one can do it. The only thing you can really equip in Prime is your shoes.
Yeah, because I haven't seen any of the accessories that you get either through with the NBA or Swags. Swags accessories are for Playground. NBA Store is for NBA. And I know people like the ability to assign accessories. Say that three times fast. assign them through the. You know when you're in the locker room at the beginning of the game?
Yeah.
And you're at the locker and you can do it? Kind of a cool feature at the same time, but if you want to do it, if you go get some new accessories, you got to progress to the next game to do it. You got to go all the way back to my court and go through all the cutscenes to change in the closet and everything. It was just so much easier in 2K17. And I know they want to create this whole open living world and everything. I don't want that. You know, I saw someone actually... playing the PC version, they did an offline version of the career. They just kill a connection and play the offline version and just use a trainer to change the accessories and everything and just go through the points. And they said it was a much better experience. And that's, to not have that streamlined experience in my career, it really is off-putting this year. Like, I thought they did such a good job in 2K17, and they've tried to, and what they've done is very innovative, as we've said before, but it's just so cumbersome, you know. Maybe we're too old for it. I don't know, but yeah, it's just it is really a turn off, and it's why I've only played the one My Career game in the past week. Although we have played some 2K Pro-Am, I do like that we can level up in 2K Pro-Am. That is nice, but
yeah.
It's just a damn shame that I can't throw an alley-oop until I get a badge. You know, that's ridiculous. I mean, if I can't make some of the alley-oops that I've been missing, trying to send to you guys in Pro-Am and such, and that wide open one in the playground was terrible. Like, you had it there. Like, if that was 2K17, you were finishing that. You know,
That was no issue. That was automatic money right there.
The fact that you can't do it until you grind up. If you can't throw that lob as a point guard, you shouldn't be in the league. Basically, if you're talking about realism, you should not be in the league if you couldn't throw a simple lob like that.
So, not even in the G League.
You're not even in the G League. Should I get the G League on the phone? Yeah, there's obnoxious. Every character. It's like the my career 2K18. You know, why is everybody a dick? It's just that's the basic theme of the story. For alternative theories about my career story, check out the latest Friday Five. By the way, the dark sequel to NBA. The dark sequel to Space Jam, I should say. So, 2K15. We also had a walk-on game, and it was kind of more like the walk-on games in the past because we got matched up with somebody who just kept chucking threes. Nord of Nine, this fellow was. So, yeah, almost shot us out of the game. Did manage to win in overtime. It kind of screwed us over at every turn. I'll have to show you the video of when they forced me out of bounds for a turnover. It was a foul, but I got the turnover, like, are you kidding me? So it was frustrating, but we did get it. Got a couple of double doubles. I've got the only double double so far in for our Prime team, because that's a bit harder this year. but
I've been so close on three or four occasions. Just one, maybe two rebounds short in about three or four games. It's like, yeah, kind of annoying because I really want to get those double doubles or in a try and for a triple double this year.
Oh, I'd love to get it. It's probably no way unless I can somehow get steals. I'm getting a few more steals actually in Pro-Am, which is I can kind of get that. So I'm working way up to averaging the double double at the moment. It's just getting the points and the assists a bit tougher. But it's one of those situations where it's annoying and it's frustrating, but it's just enough to want to keep playing. You know what I mean? So I thought I was all ready to give up on my career in 2K Pro-Am a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still giving it a go, basically. And I think it does help, definitely, and it was a good idea, as I said, to allow us to level up through 2K Pro-Am as well as, to go to the badges. The progress in 2K Pro-Am towards the badges counts, basically, that you don't have to grind through my career, although that's probably the quickest way of doing it, that you can level up with Pro-Am and the Playground so that you can avoid the NBA stuff if you do want to just stick to those online modes.
Yeah. Like, if it was... If you couldn't do that, I don't think any of the modes would be enjoyable in that sort of sense. It would really make the grind 3-4 times harder and just more painful. But yeah, I still think some of the reward factors and things like that should be fixed in terms of...
Well, when you're getting like 8 VC for stats,
yeah,
it's really... that's the thing. If you need the VC... My career is the way to go because that's where you get all the money for sponsorship and stuff.
Even 2K Zone is better than some of the game mates.
Doing the 50 questions every day, yeah.
Yeah.
That was probably almost fun and getting the answer and doing the celebration right there in the middle of the floor of 2K, yeah. 2K Zone and such. So I have to check that because I did do Pick'em yesterday, so I have to see.
Oh, yeah, I did that too, so...
I mean, I hate to be negative about that because it always sounds like you're hating, like you're bashing, but... Considering how into my career we were last year and how we enjoyed it and how 2K Pro-Am, even through its ups and downs, we had that much fun with for probably at least 11 of the 12 months, I guess, that we were playing it. We enjoyed it, or like 10 of the 12, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it was more 10 of the 12. Yeah. Even in question, like some of the rough weeks that we had was probably really, we'll say about 9.
9 maybe. So yeah. 75% of the time. We were still kind of enjoying 2K Pro-Am and 2K17, and it's getting a little bit that way, and certainly when we'll be more competitive, but they really need to fix that, the matchmaking. At least I'm making free throws again, because I've been grinding the hell out of that free throw ace badge. At the bronze level, I want to get it to the silver so you can get up to like the 80-85%, I think it is. So,
yeah, I'm at silver with free throw ace and trying to go for gold with it.
Yeah. Although it still screws you over as well. It's just...
Yeah. I actually hit them pretty well in game, even especially in a away game, like where, you know, you get that vibration
shaking,
from the crowd and that. And I'm actually getting a lot of green releases in that sense. It's like, how the hell do I hit it better in that circumstance as opposed to in the training drill or in Pro-Am and that, with none of that sort of distraction and that. And it's like, doesn't make sense.
No,
so.
I still need to find a free throw form that works. I'm now using J.R. Smith's form for shooting, for the jump shots. And when I created it the first time, I noticed he had a quick release, so I maxed it out. That was a bit too quick, so I've dialed it back to the 75% speed, and it seems to work a bit better. Get a few green releases, at least shooting around in my career. It's a bit harder online. Obviously, they want to balance that out a little bit. Got the Limitless Range badge now, so might make a few open ones from 30 feet if there's no defender in the vicinity. Like, okay, I've got to fire it from here, guys, because if I get any closer, they're gonna send a defender at me. But it'll be interesting to see if those, now that I am accumulating those badges, you know, we're all accumulating the badges, whether it will have that effect online, and hopefully so. I will say that I do like the badge system. Although there's a lot of grinding, the fact that you to get the badge, I mean, I'm already at silver, more than halfway to gold dimer, which I suppose as soon as you got silver diamond last year, you could, bronze diamond, you could upgrade it with VC. So that was even quicker, I suppose. But I think you had to get like 300 assists on your career to get the diamond badge last year.
Yeah.
And then I got the Hall of Fame level, which I'm locked out of because I didn't do pure playmaker, which kind of regretting now, actually. But you had to get the 1,200 assists to get the Hall of Fame level in 2K17. Now I'm already halfway to gold through the grinding, so it's not too bad in that respect. And again, that does help being able to do it in 2K Pro-Am as well, and a little bit from Playground as well. And the fact that it's a single system as well, that you don't have that park rep and everything, I do think that's a good idea. You know that. So, and that's that. I think that's really what I look at 2K18. There's been some nice improvements. There's been some things that I wish were improved better. A lot of good concepts, but the execution is not necessarily there.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. And, you know, again, a few things improved, and then a few things that sort of, you know, bad system choices or menu choices or UI choices and things, or just execution in the whole experience in terms of the playground and how clunky and that is. For me, when I was playing live yesterday, you know, and had a enjoyable experience playing that, and there was like a game where I had, you know, a few alley-oops in the game and that, and just the responsiveness in the dribbling mechanics is so much better and more fluent. I could break, not so much break out of it, but I could move like around in terms of it. You know, it didn't still feel like I had to wait for it to play out, and then occasionally it'll allow me to move after doing the animation in that sense. So that's one thing I really enjoy, and I was like really impressed with Live in terms of that. It was really noticeable, yesterday, in that when I was playing between the two games, and that I was like, wow, this is a world of difference and so much better. And it feels more variety in Live in terms of the dribble mechanics and stuff and what you can do. I do watch 2KTV's little thing with Mike Wang talking about some of the dribble mechanics. And it's like, okay, so with the pro stick thing, looks like it's best to take off the right stick as a shooting thing to do some of the little, you know, put the right stick in a up like a forward or upwards direction in that sort of sense. And it'll trigger a certain signature thing, because if you have the shooting mechanic or shooting and dribbling, it'll actually just take a shot. So yeah, it's kind of, you have to sort of switch between the two in for 2K18, whether you want it to be a shot stick as well as a dribble stick. So again, sort of a clunkiness there, and so I don't know. Oh, I know you could do like perhaps step backs and all that stuff and Euros with Live as well, but it seems to be more responsive in terms of it being a more dribble mechanic first than as opposed to a shot stick. I haven't thrown up shot suddenly that I was intending to do a dribble move and that sort of thing. So
it
seems better balanced in that sort of sense there. That was one thing that, you know, just sort of going through both games, it was like, okay, this is where it feels, this is real, real noticeable differences in terms of things. I was trying to think what else is there that I was going to point out.
I was going to bring up for 3 weeks in, or almost a month in now, of playing both games, Live 18 and 2K18. What would you say your plans are moving forward? Because for me, you know, obviously we've been playing some 2K Pro and with you guys at least until we've finally get sick of it. We kind of came around after that really bad session and said, okay, let's give it another go. It's worked out okay. Probably a bit of my career on the side just for the grinding, but really not enjoying the story, obviously. It's kind of regressed, as I said. You know, I don't want to harp on it, but that is the way it is. But a bit of my career for the grinding, but mostly playing 2K Pro-Am. I do want to start the My League, basically. I want to get into that this year and play the NBA side of things and really sink my teeth into that. NBA Live 18, want to play my team as well. I want to get play more my team this year. And I'm kind of doing that on both PC and PS4. It's interesting to see what cards you get on both, actually, and see what kind of rewards you get and compare the two. I really do like the way they've done that with the goals this year, where you can unlock things and get the rewards, not having to collect a certain amount of cards, but by doing certain goals. I think that was a really good approach. Because you had to get over 1,000 cards to get the top reward last year, so it was, Yeah, it was really big. I think I only got about 300, 400 cards, something last year. If that, maybe less than 300, actually. So I'm glad the way they've done that. I'm not a huge fan of having to unlock the auction house, but at the same time, it's not too bad with the goals to do that. It's only the silver level goals, not too hard. Just got to sit down and play that. Ultimate Team, the same thing. I want to do some grinding in Ultimate Team and get the good cards, especially now they've got the Legend cards coming out. The latest one is they've also got a short-term Legend card for the Nuggets. You can possibly get a Mutombo or a David Thompson, which is cool. So want to play some more Ultimate Team. I do want to do some more live Pro-Am as well, the Pro-Am Tour and everything. I don't know how... Don't think I'll go through really the league in Live 18 because I'm already doing my career in 2K18, and again, you've got to ration your time, and don't really want to have the two overlap there, you know, and have the two careers, but again, I do like the fact that the Live 18 actually has my surname in it, so that's nice, I guess.
Yeah, with the whole league thing, it's a lot more streamlined, so it won't take up a lot of time, and you know, I suppose you'd probably play, like, shorter quarters in that sense. Like, I've been playing between two of you know, the whole one, my the league and my career and that. So
I suppose if you're playing the shorter quarter lengths, that would help, yeah, because you don't have the cutscenes, so that helps.
And the conversation stuff on the phone is pretty quick. It's
usually middle, yeah. No, yeah. I do like that. So I don't know if I will spend that much time with the league, but Ultimate Team, I don't think I'll really do franchise this year. I'm not really a fan of the way they've done that with Live 18. I hope they go back to the more traditional and deeper in Live 19. So I think the franchise experience is going to be my league this year, a bit of Ultimate Team and my team. And yeah, just kind of switching between the two, maybe just designated a few days a week for Live and a few days for 2K and just switching it back and forth. I think that's going to be my approach, basically.
Yeah. Well, for me, like this week is really trying to get to the level 80 to do the t-shirt creation stuff. You know, I want to see what the creation tools are like for all the games. Well, for 2K in particular, because it's got more of that sort of stuff. Finally got my signature shoe for 2K18. It's got all the same overlays as the last 4 years, so kind of bored with what the options and tools are in terms of that. Can see a lot of areas where they could improve that. In terms of the options, they added some new textures, like the patterns and stuff like that. They probably took out one or two good ones, and then in that sort of thing that they could have kept, I think, like, given that they did keep a couple of the other ones. Like, there was one that I used in previous ones that was really good for, like, the hologram part of, like, the Jordan 13 and, like, the cat's eye part.
Oh, yes.
And that option's not there anymore, and they kind of put in a different layer thing option this year for it in the shoot creator thing. So kind of a little bit different to go about it, but yeah, the option that I had in the case with the pattern option for 2K17 for me was better, in terms of, you know, it was quicker, and it was actually fairly close to what the hologram would technically look like anyway. The t-shirt stuff, yeah, I want to see that. I still think the jersey creation thing could be so much better, especially now that there's new designs for a lot of the team uniforms. I'm hoping that'll be something more that happens next year, where, you know, not using the same templates, you know, where they can change it, add new different design elements and things like that, just for more choice. And then for me, waiting for a lot of the new content stuff, like, from what I hear, you know, I'm hoping it comes out just as the season starts, but when they start adding, like, new shoes, new accessory stuff and all that, I want to see what they do post that stuff regarding 2K18, even Live 18 as well, like the new content stuff that they'll add in for that. And that'll be for when I start playing, like, the old classic teams and stuff like that.
Yep.
You know, sort of see, especially, again, sort of with a lot of the players from the past and all that wearing different old shoes, you know, if they add a lot of those sort of retro kicks back in, you know, being able to put, you know, more accurate sort of representation of the era that they were playing in, you know, if it's off by 1 or 2 years, but, you know, something of a model that they were, that these players did kind of wear around that time, you know, that helps my immersion element of it looking more authentic in that sort of sense. Still deciding if I'm going to get into the My League stuff. I want to, but, you know, how much more grinding am I going to do in this whole neighborhood, my career element to it?
I mean, I'm thinking, like, as you've suggested before, maybe starting the franchise, the My League, closer to the start of the season when the rosters are more closer to being finalized for the, or maybe that first week of the season, basically, because then you've got the accurate rosters. I mean, that's what I'm thinking at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. So,
of course, yeah, that's not far away now because we are in October already. So,
yeah, it's basically kind of next week, isn't it?
A couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I wasn't too sure if it was starting mid October or which would be next week.
Mm.
So, yeah. So for me, it's sort of waiting for a lot of the new content to come in first before I sort of stuck getting deep into the game modes. Kind of wish, again, with my career, you can have that roster editing ability like you could in other modes, you know, for when there's new content comes in as well. That's the only downside to having, like, getting the my career stuff and with the whole neighborhood pro-am for us in... We start that one right at the beginning of the season kind of thing. But, you know, when they add so much stuff in, you can't make the changes that you want in terms of, like, a cosmetic sense. You know, and it kind of, like, yeah, kind of stuck with that look for... And you can't... If you go into, like, a second season or a third season even, then, yeah, you're kind of stuck with the players wearing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah... You can't change it. It's like that'd be one thing I really hope that they could do for 2K19.
By the way, October 17th is when the season starts. So it is mid-October, October 17th. My mother's birthday, Eminem's birthday as well, and one day after my birthday, the 16th. So there you go. So I guess 18th hour time anyway is when it's going to start, October 18th. So that is when it will be tipping off. So that is earlier because it's been done to reduce the back-to-backs. So, yeah, it is the earliest, earlier than previous season. I don't think, not earliest, but earlier than. So, it is not far away at all. So.
Not at all. So, should be exciting. So, hopefully, yeah, that will mean the content stuff will come out a bit sooner than expected, if that's the case. But, yeah, I think I might, I think I'll still try and do like that whole playing with that sort of fantasy Miami Heat team sort of thing that I sort of started last year. Just be recreating myself and getting the players that weren't put in the team that I think should have been there kind of thing. So balancing it out to more team that I'd like and that sort of thing. And yeah, whether I just go into like just doing it like a play now sense or if I do like a whole My League element of it.
Mm.
Still weighing that up. But right now it's obviously, deciding how much further I would go with the whole My Career thing, whether I grind out the whole first season. I'm just about up to All-Star Weekend. I've gotten selected for it.
That's good, yeah.
I think as a reserve, I think, from memory.
So you're going to prove LeVar wrong. You're going to be a big baller, basically. Just not with the big baller brand. So.
Yeah. And so first things you shoot, got most of the sponsorship stuff sort of done. I just did the first commercial stuff for the for it. So I don't know, like there's with regards to when you get your deals and things like that, notification stuff, or you know, the social media element to it, it sort of seems to be not as real time as anticipated. You've got to play through the next game to sort of start seeing the notification stuff. If like, it's kind of weird because you come out from like the game and or like a cutscene before a game, and you know you start hearing about getting the some of these deals or like getting selected for All-Star game and all that stuff, and you're not seeing it in the news or like in the social media feeds and stuff like that. And I think it's more the next day when you cut through it all that. You know, I hadn't even gotten a message from players or like the or like a cutscene with Shammy and Boo Boo and the is it Tug or Jug guy?
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank. I've blanked out a lot of their names, to be honest. I just haven't cared.
And that's when you sort of find out. But yeah, having got a message from like the manager guy to about
Brian,
you know, that stuff. Yeah, Brian. So yeah, I haven't got a message from him yet regarding it. It's not as real time as I would have expected, like things to happen in sort of thing. It's something I hope, like, you know, if they're going to kind of continue the same route with what they're doing for this for next year, hope it can work out in that more real time sense. With the Jordan, like, when you get your signature shoe contract in that, you're technically getting a new contract, so their awards and things like that will be different. But still don't know exactly what the new one is yet, because I think it'd probably happen after the shoe commercial technically releases. Like, it seems to happen every like every few days, weeks, kind of like 10 days sort of thing. So, or 10 games kind of stuff. You know, all these things sort of come through. So, yeah, can't tell what the rewards are in that sense. You get to create your first shoe, and if you wanted to do another colorway of it, you got to buy it again. And that's 10,000 BC.
Yeah,
that kind of sucks. You know, if you wanted to do a home and away one,
that's been a problem for the last since they did that. And again, if it's your shoe and you've got the sponsorship, you would think you'd get some free stuff.
That's disappointing. So I'm hoping that with the new contract that I won't have to pay for the Jordan brand stuff again, like all the shoes again. It would be nice if it would include things like the shirts and apparel stuff, because given that, you know, it's still under technically all the same brand. But I think I would be asking for too much in that sort of sense, even though it makes logical sense. One thing, yes, okay, the whole thing where you sort of tied into the one whole shoe brand is kind of cool, but I admit, like, playing Pro-Am and park stuff, I did kind of like being a sneaker free agent.
Yeah, you know, it's all tied together. It does make it a bit restrictive there. I see what they're doing, and it, at least it earns you some money for doing it, VC yeah, for and, doing it, but...
And yeah. It makes sense, but I kind of, because before I knew all this started happening, I made like NLSC Pro-Am colorways for some of the shoes, like from Reebok and stuff like that, and, you know, and even a couple Adidas pairs and all that. And it's like, well, that's just kind of a waste of a slot in terms of the amount of shoes that you can make. And
I'm like, they're not happy if you don't play in the shoes, basically.
Yeah, And, you know, if you do it too many times, you can lose your contract in that sort of sense by the looks of it. So,
yeah.
You basically get one, maybe two warnings or something.
Yeah, probably third one. Leo got hit with that the other night. Was it you? Yeah. Leo got hit with that the other night.
Leo did. I did a couple of weeks ago. Like, I think it was when I first, you know, signed with Jordan in that sense. But I think when I played my first Pro-Am, whether it was a walk-on or the team one, I think I'd only just sort of gotten it, and I hadn't, you know, changed the shoe in the closet thing for the mode and that. And so, yeah, when I got hit with the notification thing on my phone and all that stuff, I was like, oh, crap. I got to...
All the way back to my court. And
yeah, you got to run all the way back. Yeah,
which is unfortunate, as we said, but...
Yep.
But so we do have some plans to play Live 18 and 2K18 moving forward, as we always do. I mean, we spent the money, in some cases extra money, on the microtransactions, so we will put the time in, and we will continue to let everybody know what we're doing each and every week, and maybe offer up some tips, and certainly talk about what we're playing in our latest experiences, and hopefully a few more wins in Pro-Am. So that has brought us to the end of episode number 225 of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, if you did, we encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes if you like that platform. You can also find us on the Stitcher app for Android and iOS devices. Or hey, keep streaming it on the NLSC itself. That's as long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show. That is the main thing. That's what we want to hear. And we always get some nice feedback about the show, so it's nice to hear from our fellow basketball gaming enthusiasts. And yeah, happy to always happy, Ben, to know that people are tuning in and liking hearing us ramble in Australian accents about basketball and basketball video games, basically.
Yeah, our monotonous doesn't distract them or deter them. So
they change it up every so often.
Yep.
So, in addition to the podcast, obviously encourage you to connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/the NLSC. You can check out the, I think we're youtube.com/NBA Live Series enter still. All these links are on the main site, of course, which is NBA-live.com. You can also get there on thenlsc.com for all your basketball video gaming needs. So until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out, like tradition, at the All-Star Weekend.